in shoes.
USA Radio News with Melanie Burkett.
I'm very pleased that this was resolved quickly.
Defense Secretary Ash Carter says he's glad the 10 Navy sailors are back in U.S. hands. Speaking at Fort Campbell in Kentucky, Carter thanks Secretary of State John Kerry for securing their release.
Our highest commitment is to the safety of all of you. Wherever we may ask you to go, the country will never leave an American service member behind.
Kerry called the response quick and appropriate. The sailors were captured inside Iran's territorial waters. They were aboard two small Navy patrol boats that apparently strayed off course. The Defense Department is investigating what happened and why. The Republican presidential race is heating up in the Hawkeye State. The latest Bloomberg Politics Des Moines Register poll out this morning shows Donald Trump making headway against Texas Senator Ted Cruz in Iowa. Cruz has 25% support. Trump is at 22%. This is USA Radio News.
Safety for your home and family. Now that's important to you. And Gator Security, with its 5-year warranty, can help. With security, video surveillance, and access control, Gator Security is available at www.gatorsecurity.com or 800-676-1580. Gator Security, with its 5-year warranty, is a proud corporate sponsor of WCNO. GatorSecurity.com.
Godfrey Electric is a fourth-generation, full-service electrical contractor serving St. Lucie, Martin, Palm Beach, and Broward counties. Godfrey Electric specializes in industrial, commercial, and residential electrical service work. Godfrey Electric, an underwriter of the WCNO Ministry, is available on the web at www.godfreyelectric.com or at 561-833-3753.
USA Christian News. After sitting through President Obama's State of the Union address, Tony Perkins of the Family Research Council declared, "We'll be spending the better part of a generation trying to repair the damage of the Obama administration." During his State of the Family address, Mr. Perkins spoke about the far left.
Desperate to preserve its power, the far left now seeks to label all of its critics as extremists or haters, and aggressively seeks to silence all who oppose its agenda. But we should take heart even from this. Our opponents seek to limit our freedom of speech because they fear its power.
Mr. Perkins also spoke how Obama has transformed America, from the terrorist attacks on the streets to the confusion in our classrooms, from the further fracturing of the family into the misuse of our military to the expanding racial divide. For the USA Radio Network, this is John Clemens.
West of Old England, a WCNO corporate underwriter, has the best in equestrian and western wear from head to toe for both horse and rider. They are your Wrangler, Pro Rodeo, and Horseman headquarters with an expanded woman's department. Also an expanded boot department with Georgia, Justin, and Wolverine boots. West of Old England is located in the Bruner Plaza, 650 Southeast Monterey Road, halfway between US 1 and Canner Highway. West of Old England.
Experts say the ship is likely made of steel and iron and dates from the turn of the 19th century. I'm Tammy Rose.
Bernie Sanders says Chelsea Clinton's claim that he wants to get rid of Obamacare is absolutely wrong. The Democratic presidential hopeful told CNN that while he admires Chelsea, she hasn't read his health care plan. Speaking at a Hillary Clinton campaign rally in New Hampshire yesterday, Chelsea Clinton said Sanders wants to scrap the Affordable Care Act and switch to a single-payer system. The Vermont senator said everyone would have health insurance under his Medicare for All plan. News network Al Jazeera is shutting down its cable channel operations in the U.S. Al Jazeera America is expected to close its doors by the end of April. The cable channel explained to employees that it cannot meet the economic challenges in the American media market. At the same time, Al Jazeera America's parent company plans to expand its digital services in the U.S. Al Jazeera launched its U.S. channel in 2013. We're on the web at westernjournalism.com. I'm Melody Burkett.
Did you hear the good news? You don't have to run and hide. You can drop all your defenses. His arms are open wide.
This is WCNO, Palm City, the good news station.
The following is a paid program.
The content is provided by HF Martech. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership are not responsible for the content. Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance. Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA, and SIPC. And now, the host of the Team Martech program, Joe Martech.
Hey, you know, you are a cracker, though. You know that.
So they say.
I mean, you know.
Crack the whip.
Well, you know what a cracker is?
Yes.
What?
It's a whip cracker.
Oh, that's it. It was driving the horses.
Driving chicken.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
There's, I thought it was a saltine.
A kid in the park over
I thought
here?
It was a saltine.
See, now he is a kid in the park. You're not dealing with a kid in the park.
Hey, you know what's wrong with you, Tom? You're on your game today.
I had a cracker with my chili last night.
Oh, yep. God,
you're not asleep on us today. Hey, speaking of, we were just, prior to the station starting, we were talking about the lotto, which a billion and a half or whatever amount of ridiculous dollars it's going to be. But I just, this is a trivia story, folks, but you want to get a pencil and paper and write this down at least in an outline form, because you're going to like it and you're going to forget it as soon as I tell you if you don't write it down. So class, write this down. Most of us, when we hear a million or a billion, really don't pay too much attention because our checkbooks are missing a few of those zeros. Have you ever noticed?
A whole lot of
the zeros.
So this is trivia, but it's perspective. It's perspective. A million seconds, tick, 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 is 12 days. A billion seconds is 32 years. A trillion seconds is 32,000 years. Now, the only reason I bring that up.
32,000? I got to do the math.
Do the math. I mean, I actually, not only have I done the math, I went and actually checked it out on the internet. And you know,
did your calculator work that day?
If it's on the internet, you know it's true.
True. Bonjour.
Yeah, bonjour.
Yeah.
For those of you that never saw that commercial, it's got this couple standing out on a doorstep somewhere in a townhouse, looks like New York or Boston, and this girl's telling this guy, "Hey, I've got a date with this French model." Really? Where'd you meet him? I met him on the internet. He says, "Well, how do you know it's true?" She says, "Well, you know it's true if it's on the internet." So this ugly-looking guy comes down the street. Bonjour. he was from Jessup, Georgia.
Well, you shouldn't make fun of the French that way.
I know. I was making fun of you, Jessup, Georgia, because that's not where you're from.
Jessup. No.
Jessup.
No.
You're in Waycross.
No.
I got it.
He's in that town. What's the name of that town?
I was born in Rome.
Rome.
That's close enough.
There you go.
See, I have a friend that was born in Waycross. I said, "How did that ever get the name? You know, Waycross." Well, it's a long way across to get here. So, it's they say when you're halfway, you come Waycross. But there's different names. There's different things. You know, if we look about, they ran out of Indian names, so they had to use, you know.
I remember Tom said there was a special sign that you had outside of your town.
Yeah. Yeah, resume speed.
Yeah, resume speed.
They thought that was the name of the town. Said, "Where are you from?" I said, "Well, I was born in Rome, but outside of Rome is a little place called Lindell, and then south of Lindell is a place called Boozville, and Boozville is between Silver Creek and Booger Holler, and just outside of there, where I'm from, the closest sign to my house said resume speed.
Resume speed, right?" 1-888-221-8990. Write that number down, class. 1-888-221-8990. This is the Team Martech Hour, and what happens is Joe Martech, financial advisor, is here to answer questions for you, especially doing with money. We also have Mr. Vince Rizzino, CPA, a forensic CPA, here to answer questions when it comes to taxes. We're getting into that time of year.
Yes,
we are. And we have another member of the team here who is extremely topical, Is that like a hair treatment?
No, sounds like a medication.
It's something that you put on your skin.
Mr. Mike Paulus, who is a mortgage broker, and let me just tell you, when it comes to financing homes today, how often do these rules change, Mike?
Hourly,
right? So, in fact, I say it every time I can to anybody. Hey, first thing you do before you start looking at a house is call Mike. Mike is going to tell you over the phone what you need to know before you go.
That rhymes.
I mean,
you need to know before you go.
I'm a poet, and I don't know it.
The CFPB, the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, just put out a new book out for consumers. It's
already
know before you owe.
It's already extinct.
Oh, know before you owe. That's a good one.
Let me take this call. Caller, it's Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
Hi, Joe. My name is Harry.
Hey, Harry.
And I just had some questions. I made some investments. Let me turn down my radio.
Good idea.
Okay.
Even though I sound awfully good, Harry, I mean, I'm listening to myself there again, you know, and I don't sound as good the second time around.
Okay.
Stay with me now, Harry. Stay with me. Go ahead.
Okay. A few years ago, my house was paid off, and I made some investments as a real estate investor. My wife and I have had arguments over the way to deal with the problems that have cropped up from our investments. What we did was we took a fully paid off house, when the market was at its height, we pulled a credit line and bought some properties, and as the credit line had a 10-year term, and basically it's coming time on the 10-year term to pay out. In the middle of that, I'm a business owner. I've worked with this bank. I won't say the bank's name, but I've worked with this bank before, had many business loans with them. And when the house that we have dropped below the value of what was running on the credit line at the time, they basically shut the credit line down. What my question is I guess there's two questions. My first one would be, would it be best to right now stop making payments on the credit line, the interest payments, and allow it to start to go into foreclosure in order to negotiate with the bank? Or is there a better way to deal with it that I'm not seeing?
Well, boy, you know, we got Mike Paulus, mortgage broker here, but it is a loan on the house, but is it a home equity loan type of thing, or is it a real mortgage?
Yeah, it sounds like a HELOC, home equity line of credit.
It's a credit line. It's an equity loan against the value of the house.
What about short sales on those,
Mike?
Typical
credit.
Well, you know, unfortunately, this happened quite a bit in the past. You know, as the values plummeted on real estate, the banks shut off the credit line, so you couldn't rack up any more debt and be more negative on the property. You know, you don't have a first mortgage, you just have the equity line. Is that correct?
It was completely clear when we took the credit line, and basically the idea of it was, I don't know if you've worked with many real estate investors, but you basically pull a credit line, you pay yourself out of the credit line, you use the credit line to make your purchases and fix up your properties or homes or whatever you buy, and then of course reuse this money again back into the credit line until you basically become your own bank.
Yeah, and a lot of people were doing that and flipping properties back in the 2003 to 2005 era, and you know, a lot of that came back to bite consumers. But the good thing is a lot of the values have come back. So, I mean, do you have any equity in the property now?
I have a friend that's in she's a real estate agent, and it looks like if we sold it right now, we would come out pretty much even, because there's a lot in the credit line, which is kind of what really bugs me. I worked with this bank. I can't tell you who it was or anything. I don't want to, but it really aggravated me because I've had many business loans with them, and I've never had a line cut off. I've never had bad credit. Never had any of those problems.
Yeah, but that was common for the time. I mean, you weren't the only one. Banks were doing that. But what I would do is, there might be an opportunity to refinance the loan. Once you stop paying on that, you have determined to go down that path, and there's no turning back. Because if you stop paying it, then your credit's going to be damaged to the point where you're not going to be able to qualify for another mortgage. So I would first try to explore other options. I mean, I would try to apply for a refinance, get an appraisal on the property, but you have to get it through the bank that you're applying with, and then see right. where you are, because you never know. There might be some equity. There might be enough equity to refinance it, and it gets you into a more affordable payment.
This is not your primary residence, right?
No, it is my primary residence. Yeah.
That's the issue. That's even better, though.
See,
if it's your primary residence, you might be able to get a substantial loan better than on a commercial line.
Yeah, I mean, you could do, even if you have a little bit of equity in the property, you could do a refinance through FHA, and we could do 96.5% financing on that. Now, you know, there's going to be...
It's probably at about, I'm looking at 125% loan to value last time I checked on it. That was been about 8 months ago. I haven't checked since because me and my wife have been going back and forth on this issue, and I'm pretty mad about it because it basically pulled me out of one of the things that I had made plans to be doing for a while yet to come, and I'm at the point of let them take the house and then I'll negotiate with them later and deal with them in cash and pay them off, you know, instead of, you know, whatever the amount. I won't say that either because then it'll kind of put me out there. But
what you've done is, you've damaged your credit.
Just use a number of $200,000. You know, if I can put it, crash the loan and then take and, you know, get them down to, let's say, $125,000 and then use cash to pull out, and then I still own the house and I still have the other properties too.
But see, banks, the whole rule since Dodd-Frank, and I don't know how much you've paid much attention because nobody really can figure it all out, but under this current administration, when they passed the Dodd-Frank banking laws, the relationship banks are almost a thing of the past. Everything now is based on real numbers and qualifications and assets.
And regulators.
And regulators are in, I mean, like stink on never can't say this out loud, but the bottom line is, once you don't make payments, your credit might be damaged irreparably. And these people, when the regulators come in and say, hey, let's foreclose on that guy, he's collectible, we can make him pay the whole thing, plus cost, fees, attorneys, the whole nine yards. So
once you make that decision, there is no going back. That is your decision, and you've made it. There's no other options for you.
How about
that's why I called you guys. Yeah.
How about this?
I'm a Christian, and go ahead.
What I'm trying to say is, we've got your name and number because you gave it to Connie when I came in. Let Mike talk to you off the air, and let Mike run a credit report and see, and then maybe he can work with you on an appraisal, and maybe we can get you a home, a legitimate mortgage on this thing, and which would pay off the credit line at today's favorable interest rates, and then the rest of your properties and stuff will still be fine, and your credit will still be good.
You know, it would probably be worth the effort. An appraisal costs about $450. I think it's a good investment just to see where you are, and you'll be surprised. Sometimes, you know, if the timing is right and there's a couple good sales in the neighborhood, that can influence the value of your home. So I would suggest give that a try before you turn down that road, because once you go down it, there's no coming back from it.
Yeah, I know. I kind of came from a old school position. I used to call this same bank. This bank has been taken over by another bank since. I used to call for my loans.
And I know those days
just
are
a matter of
those days are gone.
Tech would be waiting for me. Yep. We'll work out the details later. And it was what a great relationship. And they made money. I made money.
But those days are gone.
I feel like I didn't. I just feel like I've been taken advantage of. That's
well, the point is, really, I'm trying to really say, this is, you know, I often say this is like being Catholic. Don't ask questions. You just are one. And that's no disparagement there. But the bottom line is, these are the rules today. And unless you can go back and kill that whole Dodd-Frank bill, which is going to be take another 6 years to get done, you know, right now, relationship banking is almost a thing of the past. It's all based on numbers and regulators today. The regulators, the bigger the bank, a lot of these banks are trying to sell themselves because the bigger they are, the more reserves, the more regulation. It's tougher and tougher and tougher.
And, you know, I think we're going to see a lot more of this situation because, I mean, back in 2004, 2005, there were a lot of people taking home equity loans.
Yeah.
And what the most of those were set up where you had a 10-year period of interest-only payments.
Right.
Those interest-only payments are very affordable at the low interest rates we're at today. But once that 10-year period is over, normally it's time to pay the piper. You have to pay that balance off in a 20-year term, which makes it much less affordable for people.
Anyway, Mike's think, if you want, he'll talk to you off the air. But the bottom line is, I think if you might as well donate $450 and get an appraisal from a licensed appraiser, and see what the value of the house is. And with the market getting better and better almost on a daily basis, where's your property located?
It's in Port St. Lucie, eastern side.
That's come up 20-25% in the last year.
And you know what? The worst case scenario is if you can't refinance it, you can use that appraisal as a tool to try to negotiate something with the bank. You know, sometimes they'll
I've called the bank and they won't negotiate.
What about the HARP 2 program? The HARP 2 is still available, right? Is it not?
Not for that type of situation.
But it's a primary residence.
Yes, but that loan would have had to have been a Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac loan. This is not. This is a home equity line of credit.
Now, what if you got approved for a HARP 2 loan and then got a second? No?
No, you can't. You have to refinance an existing Fannie or Freddie loan with a new Fannie and Freddie loan.
Can't do that.
That's the only way you can qualify. This is a difficult situation. If there's no equity in the property, it is going to make it very, very difficult to
the only other
find a solution
is,
to
is a short sale, but if you're collectible, if you have assets, they'll never do a short sale for you.
Correct. If you have other properties with equity, they're going to see that. I mean, it's...
Yeah, you got a rock and a hard place there. But the appraisal is probably the way to go. And you might take you six more. When is the 10-year window up? Is that coming real soon?
Within a year.
Well, there's a possibility within a year that the values will go up another 10% or so. You might get, you know.
Yeah, sometimes it's just watching what sells in the neighborhood. Because, you know, I've done this for several of my customers where, you know, they were close, but, you know, not quite there. And, you know, we just watched the sales, and once a couple of good sales hit, then we pulled the trigger, we did the appraisal, and it worked out for the but we are in an appreciating market. Hopefully that goes in your favor. And I would just, you know, get a feel for where you are, because if you're, you know, you had mentioned that you were able to throw some cash at the bank. If you're close, you might just want to just refinance this and throw some cash and pay the loan down and get a refinance.
Yeah, I can. I'm just it's that fear of throwing cash after bad money, you know.
Once your credit,
I trusted the bank.
Yeah, but you know, I hate to say the rules are what the rules are today, and all the old bankers, you can forget that stuff, and we've all had to live with it. But it's just tough. Listen, I'll tell you what we'll do. Mike's got your name and number. Let us do this. Let him counsel you a bit, if not today, tomorrow, and see how we can help you. Is that all right?
Yeah, that'd be great. You know, like I said, that's the reason I called, just to see if I could find out something more than I have friends that are investment real estate.
Well, let me do this.
Have been around for.
Let's have Mike give you a call tomorrow, and we'll see what we can accomplish. All right.
Okay, that sounds good.
Thank you so much for calling.
Thanks for calling.
You're welcome. Thank you again.
1-888-221-8990. Now, I'll tell you what, there's three people sitting right here, meaning Vince Rosino, CPA, Joe Martek, financial advisor, Mike Paulus, mortgage broker, who have watched this banking situation change so dramatically in the last 10 years. I mean, dramatically. You know, Vince, you've had multi-million-dollar clients that can't even get a nickel anymore.
Well, the pendulum swung so far the other way. Yeah. After the debacle of 2008, the regulators started to regulate and do what they do. The government's more intrusive, and then the banks are afraid to lend.
Yeah.
And so, what you wind up with is a lot of rules and regulations.
You know, and unfortunately, I think that the boat has left the dock, too, because, a lot of these banks are beyond the foreclosures now. So now they're starting to be a little bit less lenient in negotiating these transactions. Yeah. Where a couple of years ago, they were in panic mode. Yeah. The banks were in panic mode and they were trying to negotiate everything out. Now it's not so difficult for them. It's not the same environment. And they're being a little bit more hard-nosed with negotiating these contracts out.
Yeah. We see it. 1-888-221-8990, 888-221-8990.
Even the FHA, talking about that, Mike, even in our homeowners community where we had some foreclosures, a couple of years ago, we were getting some pretty enticing offers to settle in terms of back dues and things like that. Mm-hmm. These days, the last year or two, they don't want to pay any more than the statutory minimums
on
the property.
Yep.
Well, this is the system. And you can complain about it, but you're not going to change it. What you have to do is say, how can I work within it to make this thing happen? And again, we watch people get turned down for a short sale because they, didn't need it.
Exactly.
You have to prove.
If you have any assets at all that they can go after, they're not going to want to do a short sale.
And the reasons why the short sales took so long is, during that process of the application for the short sale, the banks were doing their asset research. They're checking everything about you.
Yeah.
They're checking to see if you have any properties where you have equity in it, any retirement accounts,
You name it.
They're finding it. And if you have the assets sitting there somewhere,
they're not going to give it up. And why should they when you think about it?
Exactly.
Yeah. You made the decision to invest.
Yes.
You're asking them to take it in the chops.
Well, what happens is,
if you have the money, I'm saying.
You see it all the time with people say, hey, I had relationship banking for years.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's
gone, people, you call up your banker and you say, hey, I'll be in tomorrow, but I need to put 10 grand in the bank right now. And they would put it in. On your word, and you'd show up tomorrow and sign the note and go. Well, forget that.
You're back to the regulators again.
The regulators
Unfortunately, we're in a different environment.
Yeah.
And you know what? A lot of people, and I understand, because, if you're so far upside down that there is no way out of it, that you have to make a business decision. You have to make a business decision whether to default on that loan or not. And unfortunately, the banks have to have the same mentality. I mean, even though you were a great customer for many, many years, they're afraid that you're going to default on that loan. So they're not going to be, as lenient as they were.
And it's back again. Let's just take a bank and they've got 10,000 customers. You can have a relationship banker all you want, but by golly, the regulators are looking at the pure numbers and the balance sheets. They're not looking at...
Well, they're looking at reserves, and they're making a lot of these banks keep more reserves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so that means they have less to lend on the assets they have.
I have many, many friends who, are bankers, and, during the high point, they maybe saw regulators once a month, once every 6 months.
Yeah.
After the bottom dropped out, they had regulators in their office every single day.
Just camping,
yeah.
I mean, you know what it is? You're not going to change the rules.
The environment.
The environment. You're going to have to adapt to it and try to make it work. But the biggest problem he's got, if he defaults or goes into foreclosure or tries to go into a negotiation, all of a sudden his credit's going to be damaged for a long, long period of time.
Yeah, and also the problem is that, let's say you're unsuccessful in getting that negotiation done, then if it goes into a foreclosure situation and the property sells for less than what's owed, there's going to be a deficit judgment against
them. Then, not only time for that, plus attorney's fees, expenses, court costs, they add it all on top of it.
Oh, absolutely. You have all kinds of penalties added on there. So, if you owe $100,000, when it's all on the dust all settles, you may owe $130,000.
Yeah, yeah.
And that doesn't go away.
And your options are limited at that point. You might go bankrupt yourself through a personal bankruptcy, but then you're in the same boat.
If you have other assets, they get liquidated. So then it's all gone.
Yeah, it's a catch-22, but literally, there's probably a way out, but it may not happen overnight. But, you know, Mike, you can counsel them a little bit over the tomorrow. And
yeah, I just seen, I've seen this situation over and over again over the last few years, and I just feel for so many people. And, you know,
if he gets if he gets an appraisal done and it's within $10,000 or $20,000, maybe he can wait it out for 6 months or a year. If he's got a year left to go on the line.
Yeah, and like I said, I mean, I've had customers where we were very, very close to qualifying. There just wasn't quite enough equity. And what we did is we just called some of the local realtors who did a lot of business in that development. They, you know, they would let you know that, hey, there's a transaction pending. They can't tell you how much it is.
Yeah.
But then you kind of just wait it out and you see what it sells for, and then you order the appraisal. So a lot of this is just timing.
Yeah, yeah.
Just waiting and seeing what sells.
1-888-221-8990. 888-221-8990. That's toll free, any place. We have sitting here today Vince Rosino, CPA, Mike Polis, mortgage broker, Joe Martek, financial advisor, and other members of the group who are not here, Ms. Victoria Lloyd, Remax of Stewart.
She would be a great person for our caller to contact just to see what the house is worth.
She could find out, and you know, she'd be able to tell him very, very fast without doing an official appraisal.
Mm-hmm.
But basically, based on comps, she can pull every comp for him.
Yeah, and you know, a good realtor like Victoria, she knows everybody in the industry, and she knows what's going to sell and what's not going to sell.
Exactly.
And she can give him a very good idea what that property is worth and what it might appraise in for.
And then Greg Fasula, attorney, not that this guy's going to have to use an attorney, but you never know. One of the things when we put this group together was to put local professionals that have all been in business a long time, that have integrity and experience and competency, which leads me to Dan Warren, last member of the group, who was one of the original members of the group, who was an independent insurance agent who has done wonderful, wonderful things for a lot of our clients. In fact, Mike, he's saved some people from buying or not buying a house.
I just sent it, him a customer yesterday. My customer got a quote from another agent, and it was, I don't know, somewhere in the vicinity of $2,500. And Dan was able to get him a policy for $1,600. So he's got so many different options, so many different carriers that he's guaranteed to save you money.
Yep. He's excellent at what he does. He really is.
Here's a question that came up. So if I have a homestead and I'm a single person, and I'm an old person, over 65. Isn't there like a $50,000 exemption on the homestead for tax-wise?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. For some taxes. There are some taxes where you only get a $25,000 exemption.
Okay. Can you explain now, let's just take it, a single mother, no husband, single mother with children.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing. Are there exemptions over $25,000 for taxes?
Well, the standard deduction is $50,000. But there are some portions of your taxes, like school taxes, you only get a $25,000 deduction on that. But other taxes, you get a $50,000. Then there's another section of your taxes called non-ad valorem taxes. And that could be like water drainage for the county,
South trash, Florida water management district,
trash pickup, et cetera. That you don't get any deduction on. That is what it is. If it's homesteaded or not, that's what you pay.
Now, the question is this. If I get my tax bill, and you know what happens is people buy their house, and when part of the closing documents, they're assuming that the taxes are the same as they were.
Mm-hmm.
So you assume that house and supposedly those taxes for that period of time.
Yeah, you assume the status on the house for the year you buy it. So if it's homesteaded the year you buy, that's what the tax bill will come out for that year. Your change will come the following year.
Yeah. So then you go in and get your house re-homesteaded, but the taxes could go up or could go down.
Yeah, and you know why that is? Because when you homestead a property, you get a deduction off of the taxes, which probably saves you overall about $300 or $400, which is wonderful. But the big advantage of homesteading the property is that if your property goes up in value, your taxes will be capped at 3% a year.
Right.
So you buy it at $100,000. 5 years from now, it's worth $300,000. Your taxes are only going up 3% where your property value is triple.
But here comes a situation. I buy this house today, and I'm assuming the existing taxes in my mortgage, and my lender says, okay, fine, you're going to pay an escrow account, and we're going to escrow money based on the existing taxes.
I know where you're going with that.
Yeah. And then all of a sudden, the new tax bill, even though I've homesteaded, it comes in, and the new tax bill is $1,000 higher than the one I assumed.
Yes. Yeah. Well, and there's a reason for that. When the homestead comes off, the old homestead comes off, your homestead goes on, they're going to reassess the value to market value. So if someone were in that house for 30 years and the taxes are being artificially held down by the cap,
3% a year, right?
By the 3% cap, then when that cap is removed, it can go up substantially. Now, what you should do, though, if you sold a house that was homesteaded, there's a portability feature of your homestead exemption. But and that's a separate application. There's actually two applications that you have to complete for that, one for your homestead, one for the portability.
Now, a good realtor quote would probably help you understand that.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Makes a big difference who you're talking to when it comes to this portability. But assuming it's not portable, that it's a first-time home buyer, and they assume the existing taxes and they were there artificially for a long, long time, are they going to use the new purchase price as the basis?
Well, not necessarily. What they have to do is they have to appraise it just like a normal appraiser would. So it's going to go by other sales in the neighborhood as well. But yours does affect the value of the house, of the assessment. So see, in Florida's ultimate wisdom, we pay our taxes at the end of the year. The tax bill comes out in November for that year. I have no idea why they do that. Every other state does it either at the beginning of the year or throughout the year. But when we set up the escrow accounts, the only thing we have to go by is the previous tax bill, because we don't know what they're going to be in the future.
Right.
So unfortunately, when we start collecting the escrow account, that could be too little.
Right.
So at the end, you know, then at the end of the next year, when the bank does their escrow analysis, they're going to take a look at it and they're going to say, oh, no, we didn't escrow enough.
We're missing enough.
Yeah.
Right?
So what they're going to do then is if your taxes went up $500, they're going to increase your future payments to make up for the $500 from last year.
Right.
And they're going to reassess it for the new amount of the $500 increase. So for that next year, you've just had a $1,000 increase instead of a $500
divided
increase.
Divided by 12. Right?
Exactly. So, but you know what? The only good thing I can say about it is the bank's going to pay it, and it's an interest-free loan.
Now, can you go back to your tax assessor's office and argue or try to get them?
Yeah, and it's really important. You'll get that, that preliminary tax bill in September. Once you get that, and what they'll do is they'll say, okay, it's called the trim card. They'll say, if the budget is passed for the upcoming year, your taxes are going to be this. And if it doesn't pass, it's going to be this. So that's your time to go into the tax collector's office and start it.
Let's say you don't, but you wait until now.
Well, then it's too late.
You have it
so well.
Yeah, now, you can start fighting the battle for next year, but I don't know how
that's
going to
work.
Right.
Well, what about on the deductions, meaning there's 50,000, but I know people have say if they've got one eye, widow, whatever it might be.
Oh yeah, there's other deductions too. There's veterans deductions. Yeah. There's there's handicap deductions. There's all kinds of deductions that
you can apply
for.
If you don't put those in when you're applying for homestead the first time, you might miss those. Is that true?
Yeah, but you can go because things may happen to you that will now qualify you.
Right.
You may have homesteaded it and then something happened, and then you can go back and revise it. Sure.
Okay. I'm just throwing this stuff out because these circumstances come up and I hear them, and you know me, I make a real simple thing: go down to your tax assessor's office and start arguing and find out what is missed, if anything.
Yeah, and you know, I just had an interesting situation occur because I did a mortgage for a disabled vet, and they bought a house where obviously there were taxes on the house, and they, you know, once they apply for it, then they're going to be exempt from paying real estate taxes. Well, the only problem is that their exemption, they didn't own the property yet because it was a purchase.
Right.
So they're not able to apply for it. So we have to escrow for taxes.
Even though they're
not going to be able to pay taxes. But the good thing is, in November, when their tax bill rolls out and they don't have to pay taxes, there'll be too much money in the escrow account, and then they'll get a refund back.
There you go. 1-888-221-8990.
They do pay interest at that point, don't they?
I don't think they do. Oh, for the
balance for the in your escrow, yeah.
Yeah, you're going to get what?
It's going to be a quarter of 1%.
A quarter of 1%.
At best.
that I don't know.
You know, that 69-cent Coke is what you're going to be able to get at the 7-Eleven.
Well, it's better
you know?
Than a steak in the eye.
Not necessarily. A steak might be worth more than a Coke. 1-888-221-8990. Hey, speaking of Mr. Rosino, you've got some papers laying here.
I bring them every week now because you know there's a lot that the Congress passed back in December. Some of it applies to 15, and then the rest of it applies to 16 and beyond. And I went through most of them, and it affected for individuals. The child credit was made permanent. What does that mean? You know, we have $1,000 per child tax credit. And that was always continuously being
re-upped,
kicked and re-upped and re-upped and re-upped. And the Congress decided in their wisdom that, you know, why do we need to do this every year? Because they always wait to the end also.
Yeah.
It impacts people not so much on the personal side, mostly on the business side, because people have to make decisions on how much equipment to buy, for example, how much they're able to fully write off in the first year, things of that nature. But also things like the earned income tax credit was made permanent.
That's
good because there are a lot of low-income people who qualify for this earned income credit.
Right.
The best thing about it is, for the most part, it's a refundable credit. What does that mean? You know, that means that if you don't have any tax due, you'll get a check.
You might get a check even if you didn't pay in.
Yeah, I've done mortgages where they actually got more money back than they paid in.
Only in America.
Yeah, also, which I don't understand. I mean,
I know, but that's the rule.
Hey. I know it's the rule.
Well, you know what it is.
I know. Let's take another call. Caller, it's Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
Hello. Hi. I have a question. I have two questions about taxes. One is about property taxes, and the other one is for income taxes.
Okay.
I just recently bought a house in September last year. I want to know, when do I apply for homestead? The second question is... Before we bought the house, me and my husband, we used to do our taxes as separate. And now that we bought the houses under both our names, is it the better idea to do file taxes under both our names, or we can continue doing it separate?
Well, as a general rule, the tax rates are always a little less expensive when you file married jointly until you reach certain income levels, and then there is a marriage penalty. But you're talking about an excess of $200,000 of joint income.
So are you making more than $200,000 a year joint income?
No, not at all.
Solve that problem. So he's saying it's to your benefit.
Yes, and also the separate part, there's so many different conditions that might want you to, I don't know what your reason was for filing separate, but many times the individuals will file separately because they're either the husband or the wife is in business and the other one is not. They don't want to be subject to liabilities that may come out of that business arrangement, so they decide to file separately for that reason. There are also other reasons you may want to file separately. Sometimes one spouse has a lot of medical expenses, for example, wherein jointly they have a threshold over which they can't deduct, like it's a 10% threshold. 10% of income is the amount that you must meet before you can get to deduct anything. Well, if you do it on a joint basis, you have that much more income, so your thresholds are higher.
Here's a question to ask, though. Are you doing your own taxes, or are you paying somebody to do them for you?
We're paying somebody.
Okay. That person should be able to do them both ways and show you.
Well, what I do in my practice is I do it. I do have the ability to look and see what it would be if you file jointly versus separately and see if there's a savings from it. As a general rule, as I say, there are reasons why you may want to file separately. And each one, the program won't tell you that unless you go in and put the expenses in. There are reasons why you want to be separate. But for the most part, from a rate point of view, you're better off filing jointly if you're below certain income levels, so you don't have that penalty.
Okay, that answers.
And about the homestead property, when do I apply?
You should go down tomorrow and file.
In January.
You should do it as soon as possible, because here's what happens. You only have till the end of February to apply for it. And then as you get closer to that deadline, you know, the lines get long. You know, you can do it any time after you purchase the property. I suggest the sooner the better.
Yeah, you could have done it already. So what happens, and it will count for this year, but you need to go and do it real soon.
Yeah. Normally, I suggest that you wait till you get your recorded deed back from the title company, but I'm sure that you've gotten it back now if you purchased it in September. Take that deed down. You're going to need some other documentation to prove that it's your primary residence and that you're occupying it. Normally, you have to show your driver's license. You changed your driver's license so that you registered your car there, maybe a utility bill or two, and also your deed and your settlement sheet. You take that all down to the tax assessor's office, and then you can file for your application.
And it doesn't take.
I understand you can do that online now.
I don't know if you can do it online because they can't document your residency there that way. Normally, I always suggest you do everything in person that way because it's done.
Which county are you in?
Palm Beach.
So you want to just call your Palm Beach County Tax Assessor's office and ask them, can I do it online or do I have to come in? And they'll tell you. And then do they make appointments for that, Mike, or often?
I don't know about Palm Beach County. I mean, up here, not where I live at Martin County, there's a couple of remote offices that are always, you just walk in and you usually get right in front of somebody. It's very little wait. But I would call the tax assessor's office, find out what you need, what kind of documentation you need to bring down there, and just ask them if you could set up an appointment because that would save you some time.
And third, ask them about branch offices if you have one that is... They may be able to tell you this one does less volume and it might get you in and out quicker.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much for your answers.
Thank you for calling. Bye. 1-888-221-8990. Now, Mike, this is education. I buy my house in September. I can go file for homestead for the next year, but it won't be until the next calendar year.
Yeah, you purchased your house in 2005.
15, how about 15?
I'm sorry. I'm living in the past. I love 2005, though. I had a great year there.
Right.
But 2015.
Freudian slip.
If you closed in 2015, then you file your homestead exemption before the cutoff date, which is the end of February, then you, your homestead exemption will go into effect November of 2016 of this year.
So that means your tax bill will be based on a homestead. Now, let's talk about homestead real quick and why it's important. In the state of Florida, you get sued because of a car accident or who knows what, and you lose $10 million. Everything that you've got is gone except your homestead.
Mm-hmm.
Your homestead is exempt. Your Social Security income is exempt. Retirement plans are exempt.
Yep.
But if that home, you forgot to homestead it, and you had that lawsuit, and
Or even in a bankruptcy, if you have a bad business arrangement that you have to declare a bankruptcy or for any reason, if that property is homesteaded, that's protected.
However, that doesn't mean you don't have to make payments. If you have a mortgage on a home, if you have a loan, you still have to make the payments. But it won't be subject to the total bankruptcy. That's exempt. So there is big reasons. Plus, taxes can only go up 3% a year.
Yeah, that's a big one because that's part of our Save Our Homes Act. And this was put into effect because we have a lot of retirees here in Florida. And, you know, in property.
I haven't noticed that, Mike.
If property values increase.
Only a couple of us. We're not retirees.
Yeah, in most states.
Just old enough, that's all. Yeah.
Your tax rate is based on the value of your house. And if that property doubles in value, then chances are your taxes are going to double in value. Not here in Florida. If it's homesteaded, it's capped. So it keeps you from being taxed out of your home.
Yep. So the homestead also, you pick up the $25,000 up to $50,000 in deductions. And if you have one eye and one leg or whatever parts of your body, they have different rules. If you're a vet, all kinds of different things that might come in to help you with those taxes. So when you go down to do this, all these things are important that you bring up that information and ask these questions and make sure that they file it for you to your best advantage.
Yeah, that's why I suggest going down there because you may qualify for an exemption that you didn't know you qualified for. If you go down there, talk to the people, most of them are very, very helpful.
Very helpful.
You go down there, you supply your documentation to prove that it's your homestead of property, that you're living in there as your primary residence. Then you apply for it and you can ask them, what exemptions may I qualify for?
There you go. And that's the easiest way to do. What exemptions may I qualify for?
Mm-hmm.
You know? So anyway, 1-888-221-8990. Are you asleep, Tom?
Yeah, he looks like
we lost him.
He's very relaxed.
He's nodding off there.
Huh? What?
Wait a minute, you're our moderator and right. And our producer, and you're supposed to keep us in line.
Well, we were on a roll.
We're on a roll there. And it wasn't a Tootsie. 1-888-221-8989. And what, how many, wait, you're hiding cards on us now?
Yeah,
he wants to spring it up on us.
How much time?
I'm just getting ready.
How much time do we have left?
Oh,
we
got about 10 minutes.
You got about 8 minutes.
I'm getting the impression that we're getting the bum's rush here.
Yeah, I tell you what.
Uh-oh. 8 minutes.
This is warm, boy.
Wait, are you having a hot flash?
Yeah.
1-888. Here's what happens. Any question for any member of the group, you call the radio station. Even if you don't call when the show is on, you can call and talk to Pastor Tom or to Connie anytime. They'll take your name and number, and we'll call you back. 1-888. You should write this number down, folks. I'm telling you, because yeah. We have come in handy on a few occasions and saved people a lot of money, a lot of aggravation.
Now we've helped a lot of people in the over
and years. We're very, very lucky. Thank you, Lord, that we've been able to do it.
Thank you. Is right.
888-221-8990. 888-221-8990. And we'll see if this is another caller. If it is, we'll take that call.
Good.
And then
we always welcome calls.
I love talking about my favorite subject, which is money. Have you noticed the market's been in a bit of a flux lately?
A little bit of a flux.
A little bit, yeah. And actually, that's been benefiting my business because the interest rates have been going down.
Can you imagine that? The Fed raised the interest rates and the mortgage rates went down. I love this.
Well, you know that. I mean, our mortgage rates are based on what happens in the Treasury securities.
Yep, right. I know. That's the way it goes.
Not on the Fed rate.
Yep, we got a caller. Caller, it's Joe Martek. You're on the radio. Hello? Caller?
Hello, hello?
Hello, hello. Can you hear me?
Hello? Yes, I can hear you.
Okay.
How are you?
You're on the radio.
Great. I have an Affordable Health Care Act question.
Go right ahead.
It has to do with, I received in 2014 a medical allowance from my employer. In 2015, the accountant called and said that they have to report it now as income and take FICA out of it. So that's going to happen in that. So they took the FICA for 2014 and 2015, both in the tax year in 2015. So now, does that mean all that allowance will be taxable when I do my taxes for 2015?
Well, you know, there was threats to that a couple of months ago before the new tax act went into effect. I believe that they've nixed that because they were talking about disallowing the employers from reimbursement. So then the alternative to reimbursement was to give it to you as compensation, and then you would have some deduction taxable on it, be taxed. But I think that was nixed. I mean, you know what? I could check that caller if you want. If you leave your number, I'll get back to you.
You gave your name and number to Connie, did you not?
I sure did.
Okay.
That would be great.
Let Vince, CPA, check it out and make sure, and then he'll give you a call tomorrow or the next day. I say he's busy now. His excuse is always to me, look at my hair. I'll keep losing more.
That's
and more.
Right. It's getting thinner and thinner.
But let him check that out. Yeah, if he doesn't get back to tomorrow, he'll be the next day, and he'll make sure put you on the right road, okay?
Thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome.
Have a great day.
You too.
What are the tax consequences to the Affordable Care Act? Because I got a letter from a donor to the station said that their Affordable Care Act insurance went up 150%.
Wow. Really?
And
it's based on their income.
Based on their income, that it went up 150%.
Okay. Well, good for them. That means they made a lot more money.
They made a lot more money. So,
hey, welcome to the world.
Hey, this is called wealth redistribution.
Well, I don't think that was the case.
The more wealth you get, the more you pay.
I think the insurance went up, the income didn't.
Because that
happened to me as well.
They made a mistake when they first wrote it.
It's either either that, Joe, or it could be this premium business. You know, where you get a reduction in premium. Yeah. You announce to them how much you make, and then they give you a premium based on that.
Yeah.
And then if you file your return and it's different than what you told them, then they hit you back with.
So you put down that you make $15,000 and you really make $30. Well, they're going to come back to you and say you now owe.
Yeah, you owe them money. Yeah.
Exactly.
One more caller. Caller, it's Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
Yes, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Hi, how are you?
Hey, good, good.
Good.
You have a question.
I'm calling to find out, if you have a home and you registered for homestead when you purchase the home. Do you have to do this continuously every year?
No, what they do is periodically the county will send you a letter just stating that if the property is no longer your homestead, please let them know. Now, I don't know of anyone who would do that.
Point is, though, once you've done it one time, you don't have to do it again. But you're sometimes people don't tell the truth. Can you imagine that?
Whoa, there are people out there like
people
that?
People that might do that. So the county is looking constantly for people that are making it a homestead but are really not. So they may just send you a letter just saying, we're double checking.
Yeah.
But you don't have to redo it.
No, once you file, it's there until you remove it.
You're quite welcome. Thanks for calling.
It's become a bigger issue of people who are snowbirds. Snowbirds are
I've known people have been caught. They claimed one up north and one down here, and that was brilliant.
Yep.
And then, you know, that's fraud, and you can go to jail for that. Yep. Little minor things. Callers, Joe Martek, you're on the radio.
Hi, I have a question. My son's father passed away. He's been collecting Social Security this year as well as VA benefits, and I'm wondering if he'll have to pay taxes on those.
If he'll pay taxes on the benefits?
How old is your son?
He's 17.
You got the benefit then, right? Check was made to you, not to your son?
No, it's made to him.
No, it's made to him. He'll get his own. Yes, it would be depending on what his other income is. If that's the only income he has, then it's not going to be taxable.
He has a part-time job. He's made about $4,000. No,
he's probably not going to have
it. He's probably not going to have any tax liability.
But you should file regardless, though,
yes.
Right?
Yes, she has to file.
Right.
Because she'll get a 1099 from Social Security.
Okay.
Which will have his
benefit. So he has to file, but he won't pay any tax.
Likely not.
Probably not. It's below the threshold, probably.
Between his personal exemption and... are you claiming him on your return?
I don't know. I typically do. He's never had these benefits before.
You may not be able to, but it shouldn't make a dramatic difference. The key is this. Whoever does your taxes, they should be able to answer that question based on how much income he's got. And if he makes too much, obviously you can't claim him.
Right. Okay.
All righty.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks. It's not really, Joe, just not a matter of how much he makes. It's really there are other tests. There's relationship tests. There's support tests mainly.
If he's living at home with mom and he's living in a house and he makes $2,000 a year working a part-time job or something, she probably could still claim him. But...
Yeah,
if he's making too much money, obviously that doesn't that go away?
No, it depends. Well, of course, if he's making $50,000 a year, it'd be hard for her to say she's providing more than half of his support.
There comes a line.
There's some point where you say,
yeah, but it's very possible that he's getting a couple thousand dollars from VA benefits and Social Security.
Yeah,
which means she might not be supporting him 50% or more.
Yeah, 50% or more.
It would disqualify her from taking him as a dependent.
But it's when you sit
but
down.
But you need
with
to
your,
look at that.
Your tax man,
the tax preparer should be able to advise her on that.
888-221-8990 And of course, nobody asked me anything about financial stuff today, but.
Well, we started in that direction.
What I was leading towards was my prediction last year worked fine. I said the market would be flat, and it was. And this year, I said this year will be flat, and it's getting worse than that. So that's where I lead into most people if they're looking for short-term money into debt instruments that are paying 5 and 6%. They should just give me a call and let me give them some information so they have some alternatives. 5 or 6% in a bad market is a whole lot better than losing 10 or 20.
Exactly.
You can say that again.
888-221-8990. No more time to talk on the radio, but you call the station, talk to Pastor Tom Emeritus. I like that. Emeritus.
He's a pastor emeritus?
Pastor emeritus.
I thought, once a pastor, always a pastor.
I've always been here in emeritus.
Yeah, boy, that's South Georgia. We take liberty. Hey, listen, folks, have a wonderful day. Thank you
so much.
I'm
a citizen, buddy.
No birthers here.
I thought you had the green card to get into Florida from Georgia.
You can run for president.
Adios. See you
God
next
bless
week.
You. Bye.
You've been listening to the Team MarTech program. The Team MarTech program is a paid program. The content was provided by HF MarTech. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership were not responsible for its content. Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance. Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Tune in next Wednesday at 4 p.m. for the Team MarTech program here on WCNO 89.9 FM. For more information, Team MarTech is available at 772-229-0114.
This is the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.